Acts chapter 2, starting at verse number 14. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days and will prophesy. And they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It seems strange for those of us who remember December 31st, 1999, we were anticipating the turn of the century, Y2K as it was labeled. I remember walking through a mire in Flint, Michigan, and the aisles were filled with bottles of water, canned foods, and different non-perishable items, for fear that there was going to be a major bug in the computer systems. And there were even some who feared that the Lord's coming was going to take place on January 1st, 2000. There was so much hysteria at the close of 1999 and the start of 2000 that it seems strange that we've now been a part of 12 additional new years and we are on the brink of the 13th. It seems like these years are going fast. In the year 2000, my wife gave birth to our oldest, Caitlin. Now Caitlin, in 7 months, she's going to be a full-fledged teenager. I am praying that this new year, 2013 or 2013, will be a blessed year for you and your family. And for this church. But tomorrow is not promised. None of us here are promised to see the year 2013. But if the Lord wills, I hope he will allow us today to briefly look back on this past year. We are on the brink of celebrating a new year. And on the brink of this new year, we sadly are coming off a celebration of life service for our sister Margaret Gaines. And we must mention that during this past year, we've lost some brothers and sisters in Christ. We have experienced loss of loved ones. And at the same time, we have the blessing of knowing that our loved ones died in the Lord, and thus they are with the Lord. The truth, that truth reduces some of the hurt or the sting, but it still hurts to lose loved ones. I continue to marvel at how this body of Christ responds to the family in such losses. I mean, some of you have lost mothers and fathers and dear friends and siblings, yet this body, I believe, excels at reaching out and hurting with those who hurt when they lose a loved one. I urge you to continue your love and support of those who have lost loved ones. Don't try to replace their loved ones, but be the presence of Christ. Don't be afraid to cry with those who mourn, and don't be put off by those whose mourning may last longer than we think it ought to last. For those of you who have lost loved ones, we want you to know 15 and know that we love you and we remain here for you. And isn't it a blessing to know that we get to experience the circle of life? As we have lost loved ones, God has given us new ones to love. The baby boom in this church is alive and well. We welcome new babies in this world. And as a church, we celebrated with parents, new parents and parents again. In the past, we have had baby celebration Sundays, and I think we should look to the return of such Sundays. Right now, in lieu of a dedication service, I would like to offer on behalf of this church our unwavering commitment to foster an atmosphere where your children can grow in the Lord. We do not seek to replace the role of parent, but we offer ourselves as a church to be a resource for your child, for your children, and for your family. I think I can speak for Justin and Joy when I say that their ministry with teenagers will continue to be a resource for families, not a replacement. And they will continue to love your children and minister to them using creativity as they are moved by the Holy Spirit. And the same thing goes for the children's program and children's church and other ministries that ministers to families. And isn't it a greater blessing to know that we have welcomed into this world babies in Christ? I can speak from a place of unspeakable joy. That's a blessing. God gave me the privilege and the honor to baptize my daughter, Caitlin, earlier this year. And others have been baptized into Christ using this baptistry and others. And some have recommitted their lives to Jesus Christ. And we rejoice with angels in heaven at the sight of men, women, and children turning to the Lord. Now, considering the financial strains and issues that we find ourselves in this country, this church continues to give over and beyond. Not only do we meet the proposed budget numbers, you have responded repeatedly to calls for special offerings to help the poor and special needs of members in this body. You've helped members in this body with needs. You have helped complete strangers. You have displayed the love of Christ in your giving. As is my custom at the end of the year, I want to personally thank you for taking care of my family and me. And I'm sure that I can speak for Justin and Joy because they feel the same way as this church has made a commitment to us to take care of us financially as we serve and minister in this body. We greatly appreciate that commitment. And please know that we are committed servants and ministers in this family. There are so many ministries to speak of, yet allow me to simply say that several of you continue to excel at using your gifts for ministry. Without singling people out, I marvel and I am deeply moved by those of you who think of others above yourselves, and it propels you in the area of service. And so my simple encouragement there is that you keep serving as if your life depended on it, and continue to let God use you in ways that will bring glory to God and his kingdom. If I were to summarize where we are as a church, I would say we are growing up. When I speak to some friends in ministry, colleagues, other ministers and preachers, they'll often ask the question, you know, how's your church doing? And I usually respond with, we're doing well, we're doing good. And some ask the typical preacher follow-up question. Well, are you guys growing? How many members y'all got? And I normally respond with, well, we're at about 200. But more important than that number, we're growing up. It has taken some time for me to understand what that means. But it was well worth the wait, because church, we are growing up. You see, growing up doesn't mean grown up. Grown up is what some of our kids think they are when they become teenagers. When they think they know everything there is to know. When they think they don't need help from anyone. When they think there is nothing else to learn. And church, sometimes we can become just like teenagers. The church thinks that they know everything there is to know. And the church thinks that they don't need help from anyone. And the church thinks that there is nothing else to learn. This church went through some stuff. And some may think we went through the stuff so that we could get elders or fix problems or get us back on track. Now, while some of those things were accomplished, a bigger revelation that has come to this body is that we needed to grow up and realize that we never stop growing up. Therefore, we are growing up. Remember what Paul told the Ephesian church when he wrote, "It was he who gave some to be apostles, to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." Pay attention to those words that were underlined and in yellow. You see, God is preparing us to serve. He's not just throwing us out there to do things. He's preparing us to do that. He's preparing us to serve. God is aspiring for us to be united. This is God's dream, that he prepares us to serve, that we are united. As disciples, we are longing to be just like Jesus Christ. And so we love like Jesus. We show mercy like Jesus. We teach and preach like Jesus. And we love like Jesus. The words that come out of our mouth are to be truthful and loving. The goal is for us to grow or mature in Christ. And there is no such thing as a bystander in the body of Christ, because everyone needs to do their part. Don't you see how this is God's dream for the church? We're growing up. And I praise God for all that he has done with this church in the past several months. Our experience with Dr. Randy Willingham and has been an enlightening and edifying journey. But as I have said in the past, what we have accomplished is not the culmination of God's work. It's only part. God is doing his part. Will we do our part? I read from the book of Acts this morning. It's a pivotal text in our Bibles. This section in Acts records the inception of the church. Peter is speaking and is using as his text the prophet Joel. In Joel's prophecy, he speaks of future events, events that Peter deems are being fulfilled. He quotes Joel from Joel chapter 2, verse number 28, that says, "And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days." Do you see that God dreamed of a day and an era where his spirit would be poured out in abundance on all people, men and women, and that men and women would prophesy or preach or teach good news? And do you see that God dreamed of a day and an era where men would dream dreams and see visions? And do you know that we are in that era? That God has poured out his spirit on us, and he dreamed that we would prophesy and see visions and dream dreams. What am I getting at? If we are blessed to participate in the year 2013, it needs to be a year and an era where we dream and we dream big. And the purpose of these dreams is not to live in pretend world. It is so that people will be put in position to call on the name of the Lord and be saved. Just like the prophet Joel preached, and just as the apostle Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. I want to get more into next year in our dreams. But I've asked, and we've discussed with Bill Shindo and Jay Collins, our shepherds, to share their hearts regarding the year 2013 and the future of this body. So I want to call Jay Collins up here to speak from his heart regarding our future.
Church, I love you. I want to share some expectations we have. We talked about different things in class this morning. For some of you that were here, might be a little bit of a review, but I was inspired to share something else. In class, we talked about expectations, and Donna said, well, we'll have goals and expectations. And now Dion uses another word and says dreams. We all have dreams. what expectation does God have of us? Perry, would you tell us?
Then they ask him, what must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent.
Some scriptures I'd like to share with you. I'll just tell you what they are. You don't have to look them up and read with you. From Galatians chapter 4, it says, but when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons and daughters. I'm adding that. Because you are sons and daughters, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Daddy. Mm-hmm. give me a minute. Romans chapter 8, 14 through 17. For you who are being led by the Spirit of God are these sons and daughters of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons and daughters, by which we cry out, Daddy. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Mm-hmm. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. And Colossians, chapter 1, verse 15 through 17. And he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heaven and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created by him for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He's the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself might come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him. Who is Jesus Christ? You'll see me struggling, and I'll tell you why. And I've told a lot of you. I'm going through bouts of depression and anxiety, and I get sad. But I'm okay. Mm-hmm. This will probably be tough, too. I'm talking about somebody here that loved us beyond any expectation that you might have of love. It says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and those who are in heaven and on earth and under earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Christ the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I wanted to share these scriptures. That's God speaking to you all. Bill and I sat with Dion and Justin and talked about some things and expectations. And I wanted to share some of those expectations with you this morning. And please don't let me forget to mention this book. In the educational committee, we decided to use this for the first 13 weeks. I told Bill the other day it could take me 26 weeks to a year to get through this thing, just because of some of the scriptures and how Jesus Christ has touched each of our lives. And the story that you have to tell. Anyway, here's some of the expectations that we have for you. Bible study, we have an expectation that each of us in the body will participate in at least one Bible study weekly throughout the year. Sunday, Wednesday, or other studies. And we're not talking about small groups. The ladies, I think, still Thursdays? Yeah. Men, we can meet. If you choose to do that, we can meet at a different day than what's assigned for those of you wishing to study more. Small groups, we have a desire and an expectation that each of us in the body will become involved with a small group. These small groups are designed for far more than being a Bible study. They are designed to help for relationship building, strengthening, healing, fostering. They encompass fellowship, study, worship, praise, and prayer. Ministries, we have an expectation that each of us in the body will actively participate in at least one ministry. Priorities, we have an expectation that each of us in the body will seek to examine our priorities in life and strive to rework them as needed to make Jesus our number one priority and glorifying him and seeking to serve others for his glory and the salvation and the growth of others. 2013, want to put forth a challenge, a goal, and this involves everybody that's here. It's that that we see a sustained growth in this body. I have a number attached to it. It's a weekly average by the end of 2013 that we'd be 250 people. We can do it. It's not just me, it's you all and the lives that you live and the friends that you make, the people that you work with, people that you would invite to church. I was going to say this morning, just for an example, Clark brought Karen, and I wanted to mention Walt. He come from Alaska here to see us, but he's a friend of the Carmans. But what I'm getting at is he's here. He's a friend, and we as a body can grow. But it's going to take each one of us as an individual to live that Christ, that life, that live that life of Christ, and people will see it in each one of us. I don't use this number to shoot for just as numerically, but as Dion was talking about our spiritual growth, we are growing spiritually. We are changing. And change is what takes place when one comes to Christ. Reynoldsburg, as different churches, has gone through its ups and downs, but God chooses to make what looks like maybe a disaster, he uses that for good. And he uses your life for good. What looks like a disaster in your life, he'll use for good. the first, we're going to be studying from this book. It says, "Tell me a story, meet Jesus." And it talks about the different people that Jesus come in contact with. He's come in contact with you. And that's what I was talking about in the fact that it could extend beyond 13 weeks if some of us are brave enough to share our story. A couple things I underline in this book that I'd just like to share with you. And I really encourage you to be present for the class. And if you can afford it, get this book. If you can't, I'd be happy to pay for it for you. I said, there are pictures of what happens when people just like you meet Jesus and walk away, transform. Romans 12. The struggling find peace. The lonely are welcome. The sick are made whole. The questions have been and answers. excuse me. The questions have answers and the empty are filled. Meeting Jesus will always change us. Perhaps driven to our knees in humility. Lifted by the hand of grace, drawn close in arms of love, or sent on our way rejoicing. The point is that we will be different because we have paused in the presence of God. It's an opportunity to meet Jesus again and again and draw closer over and over and never be the same after each encounter. Invitation is, come walk with us. It's time to meet Jesus. In my life, and I remember some time ago talking to Rick Bernard, we was talking about different things, but it's partaking of the Lord's Supper and how sometimes you might feel, that you're not worthy. But what I want to tell you is this: Jesus that I've been talking about He sees you as worthy.
Amen.
Some time ago, like I said, I was talking with Rick. And he said, Jay, he said, I think all of us go through these things. And I said, yeah. And he said, but maybe what you're looking for is Jesus died for you and you are worthy. But sometimes you don't feel deserving. And that happens. You know, sometimes we just don't feel deserving of that gift. But you are. And when you're going through your struggles, when you're down, when you're depressed, when you're happy, when you're overjoyed, we're family. Let's all work together and share those moments. I really desire for us to grow. We're at a point where we can. We are becoming spiritually mature, and we still have a ways to go. I don't think any of us will ever be perfect and have all the answers. But we can afford to love each other, even in our differences. We have one that values our lives and was willing to die for each of us. That's all I have. I don't know. Maybe now's not a good time for questions, but I'm going to turn it back over to Dion.
Thanks, Jay, for sharing your heart. That's simply what we ask, is that you just share your heart. And you know I appreciate your heart, man, and I appreciate you. Not because you're serving in that role, because you're you. And God bless you for being you. Let me say this as we draw to a close this morning, that there is nothing wrong with dreams. In our daily lives, we are constantly pushing our children to dream big and not to settle for mediocrity. We say it's okay to get B's, but we want you to work hard to get A's. We tell them that the sky is the limit when it comes to what they can accomplish. Well, doesn't the same hold true for God's church? Can't we dream big? We should have learned from the Christmas story that all things are possible with God. We should have learned from the story of Israel that God can make the impossible happen and big things happen with God. It's okay to dream big. And forgive me for borrowing a familiar phrase, but I have a dream. And let me add to that familiar phrase by saying you all have a dream. And let me combine both phrases and say we all have dreams. And these dreams, come by the way of the Holy Spirit. It is not my role to try to out-dream you. It is not our role to try to compare my dream with your dream and to say my dream is better than your dream. No, it is our role to dream with each other. So may 2013 be the year of dreams and dreams realized. May 2013 be the year that we dream big. It's okay to dream big in the realm of relationship. To dream that when it comes to our relationships with God, that our pursuit of Him should be a relentless adventure when we are always where we are always seeking opportunities to be with Him, to learn from Him, and to listen to Him. To dream that when it comes to our interactions with one another, that we will continue to learn from one another. To dream that it is better to talk to one another rather than about one another. It's okay to dream that when we implement new opportunities with the adult education, that adults will take advantage of opportunities to get into the Word of God with others in addition to their time in the Word alone. It's okay to dream that when it comes to prayer, that the body of Christ will engage in intentional times and even in spontaneous moments of prayer as a body, and that we pray as ones who believe in the power of prayer. It's okay to dream that when it comes to ministering to the poor and victims of injustice, that we will serve not as judges, but as representatives of the Most High God, who commands us to bring relief to the poor, to the widows, and to the orphans. It's okay to dream that men and women in this body will prophesy or preach with their words and with their lives to their family members, their co-workers, classmates, and neighbors who don't know Christ, so that they will call on the name of Jesus and be saved. And it's okay to dream that our baptistry will need cleaned more often, because it's used every Sunday as people are sealing their commitment to Christ in baptism. It's okay to dream that more and more teenagers will turn from bullying and excel at encouraging. It's okay to dream, and it's okay to dream big. And we don't need naysayers saying we can't do it. We don't need doubters saying that's too aggressive. We need people of faith that believe it's okay to dream big. We are our Father's children. God dreamed, and He dreamed big. He poured out His Spirit on His children, so it's natural for us to dream big in the body of Christ. Several years ago, Wendy Brown shared her dream of ministering to the poor in our community. And that's where the community of care was born. Now, the community of care has its challenges, budget challenges, volunteer challenges, resource challenges, and it's always looking at ways to improve that ministry. Now, I don't know what Wendy had in mind when she shared that dream, what was 4 or 5 years ago, perhaps 4 years ago. But I can share with you that in the 4 years that we have been serving through community of care, we have fed over 1,000 people. In 4 years, 1,000 people, over 1,000 people have walked through those doors, some with no hope, some with no money, some with not a piece of corn meal in their house. And they've come in here and they've eaten a meal. And we've had people say, if it wasn't for this meal, I was ready to check out. It's okay to dream big. I spoke with Perry a couple weeks ago about taking that ministry to another level, where it's not just about feeding and giving them beef and chicken and rice and potatoes, but feeding them the very words of life. And how do we do that? Because we believe that God has positioned us to dream big when it comes to community of care. As we start the year 2013, I will begin with a sermon series called What If? And in this series of What If? We're going to probe the imagination of God and the imagination of the body of Christ. What if we met Jesus daily? What if we prayed every day? What if we served as if our lives depended on it? What if we were more hospitable? What if we were more loving? What if we were more evangelistic? What if we believed everything that God said? We're going to probe the imagination. Will you read this verse with me from Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 20? Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Do you see that God is able to do things bigger than our dreams? So even if we dream big, God is able to do things bigger and better than our wildest dreams. So this is my encouragement to you as we leave 2012, and Lord willing, we'll see January 1st, 2013. In January of 2013, let's begin as the body of Christ to dream big. Dream big. Leave nothing off the table. Put everything on the table. Dream big when it comes to your relationship with your spouses. Dream big when it comes to your relationship with your children. Dream big when it comes to you performing with all your ability at your jobs. Dream big when it comes to you performing with the best of your ability at school. Dream big when it comes to coming together as a body of Christ and giving your all in worship and in prayer and in service. Dream big. Put it all on the table and dream big. And watch how God is able to do things that's bigger and better than our dreams. May God bless us. May God bless this body of Christ. I pray that you take to heart the heart of the shepherds, Jay and Bill, and sharing those reflections about expectations. Listen, you don't meet these expectations, they're not going to come after you with a ruler to hit you on the hand. It's not about that. It is about men who are your shepherds saying, listen, this is where we need to go. Spiritually, this is where we need to go to get where we need to go. And church, we're growing up. And we're going to continue to grow up. We want everyone to be involved because this is not a me and a few other people thing. This is an all of us thing. Amen? Let's stand as we sing this song, Covenant of Love. If there's something that we can do for you as a church, pray for you. If you want to share your dream with the body of Christ, I'm cool with that. If you want to start this or end this year off, start the next year off, giving your life to Jesus Christ, we'll also minister to you in that way. If you want to confess Jesus, be baptized, we will minister to you that way. Let's sing the song.